If you have your Bibles tonight, turn with me again to the Old Testament, this time to the book of 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 23. And 1 Samuel chapter 23. We'll begin reading that verse number 1 in just a moment. 1 Samuel chapter 23. We'll begin reading that verse number 1 in just a moment. As David and his men returned to the mountain of Judah, he received the news that one of the inherited cities of Judah was under attack. And instead of hiding behind his own troubles, David dared to go on a noble and patriotic venture to deliver this city from the hand of the enemy. And in 1 Samuel chapter 23, beginning at verse number 1, the Bible says, "Then they told David, saying, 'Behold, the Philistines fight against Keilah, and they rob the threshing floors.' Therefore, David inquired of the Lord, saying, 'Shall I go and smite these Philistines?' And the Lord said unto David, 'Go and smite the Philistines and save Keilah.' And David's men said unto him, 'Behold, we be afraid here in Judah. How much more then if we come to Keilah against the armies of the Philistines?' Then David inquired of the Lord yet again, and the Lord answered him and said, 'Arise, go down to Keilah, for I will deliver the Philistines into thine hand.' So David and his men went to Keilah and fought with the Philistines and brought away their cattle and smote them with a great slaughter. So David saved the inhabitants of Keilah." Look with me again at verse number 5 in this chapter, in 1 Samuel chapter 23. At the very end of verse number 5, the Bible says that David saved the inhabitants of Keilah. David saved Keilah. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I do thank you for this time. And Lord, we are grateful of what you've done here during this day. Of course, this Youth Sunday here at Bible Way Baptist Church. God, I pray and thank you, Lord. Praise you for this pastor, Lord. And of course, the encouragement that he's been to me, Lord God, and his contagious zeal, Lord God, for you and the things of thee. Thank you for this, thy people. Thank you for these young people, Lord God, who no doubt could be somewhere anywhere here tonight, but they've chose to be in your house, and what a blessing that is. Thank you for my wife and children. Thank you for your goodness to us. And Lord, I pray that by thy spirit, you would enable me here tonight to convey this message, Lord, as you would have me. Lord, not only do I wish to be a spirit-filled preacher, God, I pray that this thy people would be spirit-filled listeners, dear God, and that all of our hearts would be good ground for thee, and that your word would come forth with boldness and power and compassion and conviction of heart, Lord, and that it would fall on good ground and that we would keep it and it would bring forth fruit in our very lives. And Lord, if there be anybody here that does not know you as their personal Savior, Lord, we pray that this would be the glad day of their salvation before it's eternally too late. And when the last amen is said, dear God, help us to be careful to give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory in which thou art so worthy of. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray, amen and amen. Keilah was a city in the territory of Judah. It was located next to the Philistines' border, which made it very vulnerable to the Philistines' attack during the harvest season as the Philistines searched for food. So it happened as David and his men returned to his homeland of Judah, tidings came, the news came to David that the city of Keilah was under the attack of the Philistines. No doubt, David had his own issues to deal with. If you understand what was going on at in David's life at this particular junction, David himself was a fugitive. David was on the run from King Saul, who had set out to kill David. Yet God had put in David's heart the care for Israel. And David could not sit back and do nothing while the Philistine army attacked the city of Keilah. Keilah needed protection. And under God-given instruction, David sought God, and God instructed David to go and fight against the Philistines. And God used David and his men to deliver this city from the hand of the Philistines. Today, we're in great need for deliverers like David. We're in great need for people, God's people, to allow the Lord Jesus Christ to direct the affairs of their lives and use them to deliver others from the hands of the enemy. Now, as we take a closer look at this particular passage of Scripture, I want you to notice, first of all, the report on the Philistines. The report on the Philistines. In 1 Samuel chapter 23, look with me at verse number 1. The Bible says, "Then they told David, saying, Behold, the Philistines fight against Keilah, and they rob the threshing floors." So here we find that as David and his men returned to his homeland, the Bible tells us that it was reported to David that the Philistines are attacking the city of Keilah, and they're robbing the threshing floors. By the way, threshing floors were open areas located outside of the city walls where they would go and harvest their crop. If you know anything about the Jews, they were farmers. And so they made threshing floors. They made open areas outside the city walls, which were no doubt unprotected. And it was the custom of the Philistines to rob the threshing floors for food. Now, for those of you that are more studious than I am, and you are trying to study the Bible while I'm trying to preach the Bible, listen, just look this way and listen this way, and you'll have time to go home and search the Scripture and see if what I'm telling you is right. I ain't just looked at this. I know what I'm talking about. And I'm not trying to make catfish out of nobody, but you can receive what I'm saying to you here tonight. It was the cut. I just thought I'd chase that. I might not be talking to nobody. I probably should have said that to the church down the road, but there was a rabbit that swole up in my mind, and I chased it. Yeah, man. I believe I just helped a few of you Bible scholars in here. I could tell how you looking at me, that you were trying to see whether I was telling you what's right. I'm telling you the Bible. Amen. Now, if you want to shake my hand after the service and apologize, that's fine. But anyway, what was I saying? It was the custom of the Philistines. Now, watch this. When you read about the Philistines, you know without a shadow of a doubt that the Philistines were not farmers. They didn't grow nothing other than big old giants. But one thing we know about the Philistines is that they were fighters. By and large, when you read about the Philistines in the Bible, they fighting somebody. And here we find them exercising their custom of robbing the threshing floors. The Philistines, young people, they were like bullies in high school. They didn't bring their own money to pay for their lunch. Now, I don't know if this is going on in school today, but this sounds like something that went on back in the day where the bullies would come to school and they didn't bring their lunch money. What they did was they took other people's lunch money so that they could have their own food, so that they could have something to eat. And that's what the Philistines were. They were militant bullies, and they were robbing the city. They were robbing the city of Keilah of their nourishment, of their physical nourishment. Now you say, well, what does this have to do with us in this day and age in which we live? Here it is. There are cities all over America, and all over the world, might I add, that are under the attack of the enemy. Now, in America, we don't quite see it like this, and I'm cautious when I say that, but we don't quite see this type of raiding going on. Now, we have seen looting, I understand that, but we don't see, by and large, this type of raiding going on where militant groups are marching the streets and they're taking people's food supply. But there are places in our country. Now, watch this. This morning I said something about the news. I'm not against the news, by and large. I watch a little CNN, a little HLN, and for some of y'all, it might be Fox or whatever the case may be. I'm not endorsing none of it, but every now and then I turn it on, I get a little news report. So this is the news report from DuHart Network. Amen. And it's from the Word of God. And I'm telling you that there are militant groups such as ISIS and Al-Qaeda, and the list goes on and on. Militant terrorist group, might I add. I ain't afraid to call them terrorists. Militant terrorist groups, watch this. And they're going in cities, they're going in villages, and they're robbing people. They're doing what they want to do in the lives of people just like you and me. But let's bring it back to where we are. We don't see the militant groups marching around from a physical standpoint. But I'm mindful of what the Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter number 6. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against spiritual wickedness in high places. I want to tell you, young people, adults, we got a real enemy. His name is the devil. And he has an army. And they're going about right here in our beloved America. They're destroying the lives of young people. They're destroying families. They're destroying schools. They're destroying churches. They're destroying cities. Young people, you look at me and you listen to me. There are people your age right now in our beloved America who are under the attack of the devil. America's youth is under attack. Their lives are being destroyed. And the devil is doing a great job of robbing them of the spiritual nourishment that they need. No, he ain't keeping them from going to Burger King. No, he ain't keeping them from going to McDonald's. But he's robbing them of the Word of God. He's robbing them of the gospel message. He's robbing them of the truth. One of the great mission fields in our land today is the public school system. And the devil is fighting tooth and nails to keep a gospel witness from going forward on these campuses. As a matter of fact, he's wholeheartedly given to promoting heresy. Some of these young people in our school system today, they got this thought of evolution being shoved down their throats. They're being taught that God didn't create us. We evolved from some, I don't know about you, but nothing plus nothing equals nothing. If I ain't got no money in this pocket, I ain't got no money in that pocket, I don't care how hard I shake, how hard I bang, zero plus zero is zero. And I don't know about you, I might be big and black, but I didn't evolve from no monkey, and my daddy wasn't no gorilla. I don't think y'all got that last part. My daddy wasn't no gorilla. I didn't come from no monkey. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. I'm a creation of Almighty God. Far from no doggone evolution theory. I wish I believed that garbage. No, I don't. And I'm going to tell you something. Again, this is the news report from DuHart 101. There are, I ain't going to say there are, but I was watching the news the other day, and in Orange County, Florida, if you don't know where Orange County is, that's Central Florida. That's Orlando, Florida. There are, and my wife could probably explain a little bit better than me, but I'm going to just give a brush at it. There are Satanism pamphlets that these devil worshipers have said that if Christianity and other religions can be promoted in schools, then we want to promote our beliefs. And there are, in elementary schools, young children in Florida that got this doctrines of devil being pushed in front of them. They're being taught Satanism, to worship the devil. And I'm telling you, I'm simply telling you that we are under attack. And it ain't just started. It's been going on. I don't want to talk to you like this is just a current news break or breaking news. It's been going on. The devil is trying to rob as many people as he possibly can of the truth of God's word. That's the battle we're in. That's what we find here from a physical standpoint. These Philistines, they robbed. They robbed the city of Keilah of the threshing floors, of their physical nourishment. And the devil is doing all he can to blind people in this world of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he's trying to drag as many people as he possibly can to hell with him. And I want to say to you, for those of us that truly know the Lord, for those of us who have truly been washed in the blood, that ought to do something to our hearts. That, I don't know about you, but something about hearing that makes me want to roll up my sleeves and pull my sword out of it, man. We see the report on the Philistines. Let me hurry up. Not only do we see the report on the Philistines, let me give you a second thing. Notice the request of David. In 1 Samuel chapter 23, look with me at verse number 2. The Bible says, therefore David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go and smite these Philistines? And the Lord said unto David, go and smite the Philistines and save Keilah. So here we find that after the report came to David concerning the Philistines, David consulted the Lord. He inquired of the Lord. In other words, he asked the Lord, what would he have him to do? You see, as a leader, David didn't just rush in. See, there are a lot of churches that are involved in everything under the sun, when our primary business ought to be to get the gospel out. And David, he didn't just rush in. Oh, no. He made his request known unto God, and he asked God, shall I go and smite these Philistines? Young people, I like this because the Bible says in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, you probably can quote it better than me, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall, you mentioned this morning, he shall direct thy path. Can I tell you, one of the great needs in the lives of young people is direction. You need guidance. You need direction. And can I tell you something? The greatest source of direction is the throne of grace. You say, I don't know what school to go to. I don't know who God wants me to marry. First and foremost, let me say this. If you a boy, God wants you to marry a girl. Yeah, man, that's in the Bible. And if you a girl, God wants you to marry a boy. I mean a man and a woman. You know what I mean? Y'all okay? Right now the spotlight is on. It's on y'all. This is Youth Sunday, remember? So I got to have a portion of the message where I speak directly to the youth. At least that's the burden that I have. Amen. So here's the thing. David, he acknowledged the Lord. And get this, God is concerned about every aspect of your life. From A to Z. From zero or whatever the number is to infinity, God wants to give you direction in life as children of God, as people of God. We don't have to wander around like a chicken with our head cut off. God wants to give us clear-cut direction as to what he'll have us to do. Amen. David understood this. So he inquired of the Lord. He said, shall I go? Shall I go and smite these Philistines? And notice the direction. Notice the direction that the Lord gave. The preacher talking about my knees. I got tendonitis in both of my knees. They hurt real bad sometimes. Every step I take when I'm jogging with my children is painful. They don't understand it. Sometimes my daughter, she likes to stand on my feet. And I'd be like, ow! I'm chasing a rabbit again. My feet hurt so bad. First and foremost, I could stand and lose a little weight. I done lost some, but I need to lose some more. But when I used to play offensive line at Florida State, that's a champion back in 99. And, of course, again, amen. As an offensive lineman, I used to have to pound my feet in the ground. You're taught to pound your feet in the ground. Well, as a 36-year-old young man, I feel like I'm 65 according to my knees and feet because they hurt real bad. Hey, I just thought I'd share that with y'all anyway. Okay, y'all being spiritual, y'all want the message. Amen. Amen. Okay, notice the direction that he got from the Lord. In verse 2, the Bible says, therefore David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go and smite these Philistines? Notice how the Lord responded. The Bible says, and the Lord said unto David, go and smite the Philistines and save Keilah. So in no uncertain terms, in response to David's prayer, in response to his request, God gave him clear-cut, specific direction to go and smite the Philistines and save Keilah. Save this city. Let me give you two things. Number one, notice the protest of David's men. In 1 Samuel chapter 23, look at verse number 3. The Bible says, and David's men said unto him, behold, we be, what's that next word? Afraid here in Judah. How much more then if we come to Keilah against the armies of the Philistines? Now watch this. No doubt, after hearing about the attack of the Philistines, David inquired of the Lord. He sought God, and God told him specifically to go and smite the Philistines and save Keilah. So what God told David, no doubt, David went and told his men. But in response to David saying, hey, God want us to go and smite the Philistines and save Keilah, they put up a protest. They said, hey, we are already afraid here in Judah. How much more will we be afraid if we go down there and fight against the armies of the Philistines? And you know them Philistines, David. You know they love to fight. And we're this little ragtag bunch of people, and we're not ready. We're afraid. Get this. Here is David and his 600 men on the verge of missing an opportunity to be mightily used of God for one reason. Fear. Fear. Young people, adults, you know what will keep us from being used of God to the way God want to use us? It's fear. It's fear. I say, hey, we already got enough to deal with. I already got my own problems. What I'm doing going door to door soul winning. I already got enough to deal with. Why should I go down to the jail ministry and try to reach some people with the gospel of Jesus Christ? I got my own issues. Why should I try to start a Bible club at a public school to see our young people come to know Christ as their Savior? They say, we're afraid. And the Bible says, the fear of man bringeth a snare. If you're afraid of people, listen. If you're afraid of people, don't even try to serve God. Don't even try. Because the fear of man bringeth a snare. You won't do what God tells you to do if you're afraid of people. And sometimes that rises up in our own homes. But they that put their trust in the Lord shall be safe. They were afraid. And here's the man of God saying, okay, guys, here's what God wants us to do. I've sought the Lord, and God has spoken to me, and here's the game plan. We're going to go down there and smite the Philistines and save Keilah. No. We're afraid. A lot of times, I know I'm talking to the church down the road. A lot of times, the pastor comes and he stands before the people and he says, church, God wants us to go forward in this. Here's what God wants us to do. And you know what happened? Somebody grabbed their little picket fence and they started to protest. It ain't big enough, but y'all, I hope y'all get the visual right here. They start to protest. Why should we do this? I'm meddling now, but come to the business meeting, and man of God say, the Lord done laid it on my heart to take on X amount of missionaries and to give X amount of dollars this year. We already giving enough. We already supporting enough people. Why we need to take on five more? Okay. I appreciate the brother staying with me on that. Again, I'm supposed to be saying this in the church down the road. There's no way this type of protest is being put up in Bible Way Baptist Church. Yeah, man, I ain't trying to sow no discord. I'm just like the man that can't shoot straight, so I'm shooting at everything. Pow, pow, pow. Yeah, man. The protest. Some of y'all ain't enjoying this. I'm having fun. Because you know why? When I done said all my goodbyes, we going to load up that black truck out there, and we hit like the Knoxville. Let me stop. I need to get serious. Amen. The protests of David's men. They were afraid. But not only do we see the protests of David's men, Lord, I'm losing momentum. Help me. Notice the second thing. Notice the promise of the Lord. 1 Samuel chapter 23. Look at verse number 4. The Bible says, then David inquired of the Lord yet again, and the Lord answered him and said, arise, go down to Keilah, for I will deliver the Philistines into thine hand. So here we find David already having inquired of the Lord, but I believe for the conscience of his men. He already knew what God wanted him to do, but to appease their conscience. In other words, David served a little bit of soothing syrup. Let me make y'all feel good about what I already done told y'all God wanted to do. I'm going to go back and I'm going to inquire of the Lord yet again. And I'm going to ask God, do he want us to go down and smite the Philistines and save Keilah? And this time, God put a little extra on him. He gave him a promise. Before they ever went down there, before they ever stepped on the court, or before they ever went on the football field, God said, listen, you go, and I promise you, the word he used is, I will deliver the Philistines into thine hand. I don't know about you, but if I ever had to play a ball game or fight anybody, and before I fought them, God told me I was going to win in advance, I don't know about you, but that would have sure enough encouraged me to hurry up and get down to Keilah. Yeah. Young people, when God makes a promise, and there's so many promises in the Word of God, when God makes a promise, you can bank on it. Yeah. God made the promise to David and his men. He said, I will deliver the Philistines into thy hand. You say, what's the take home from this? Here it is. As Christians, and I know this sounds simple, but as Christians, we need to learn to ask the Lord for direction in life. You'll be amazed. You'll be amazed at how little so many Christians fail to acknowledge God, to consult God for direction. We just make decisions. We just get involved in things. And not one minute thought to pray and ask God, is this something he want me to do? Amen. Now you say, well, when did David learn the practice of requiring or inquiring of the Lord? I believe, young people, that he learned it when he was a young lad keeping sheep. See, the best time for you to learn to inquire of God is in your youth. While you're young, hey, you ought to make it a habit. Watch this. Before you become a husband, before you become a wife, before you become a mother, before you become a father, you ought to be somebody who knows how to get in touch with God and ask God for direction. Amen. Trying to help you now. Number one, the report on the Philistines. Number two, the request of David. There's a third and final thing I want you to note. Notice the rescue of Keilah. In 1 Samuel chapter 23, look at verse number 5. The Bible says, so David and his men went to Keilah and fought with the Philistines and brought away their cattle and smote them with a great slaughter. So David saved the inhabitants of Keilah. So here we find that God used David and his 600 men. Now that sounds like a lot, but we're talking about the armies of the Philistines. 600 men at that time, that wasn't a whole lot. And David them was not an organized army. They were just a bunch of fugitives on the run for their own lives. They didn't halfway know where their next meal was coming from. Yet God used David and his 600 men to smite the Philistines and save and rescue to deliver the city of Keilah. And man, there are so many stories of great rescue missions. have gone on during the time of the human race, and many military rescues where people have gone. I was reading and reminded of that story about that young soldier in from West Virginia, that young lady that was in the Army, and she was caught up behind enemy lines, and I don't know the full detail of it. Jessica Lynch, I think is her name, and they went on a military rescue mission, and they rescued her from behind enemy lines. But watch this. Rescue missions like that. Rescue missions like this we find here, and David and his men being used to rescue the city of Keilah. It does not compare to the rescue mission of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the Bible tells us in Luke 19 and verse number 10 that the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. Hey, the Lord Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. Christ became a man without ceasing to be God. He was born of a virgin, lived a sinless life. He went to Calvary's cross. He bled and died on the cross for our sins to rescue our perishing souls from the pits of hell. I don't know about you, but I thank God as y'all sung about the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, which was shed on Calvary's cross for my sin, for your sin, for our sin. We deserve hell. I deserve hell. But God, in his great love for us, he took our place. Christ became a man and died on the cross to rescue our perishing souls from the pits of hell. And he was rose again the third day, having victory over hell, death, and the grave. I'm grateful to God for the rescue mission of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're here tonight and you don't know Christ as your Savior, God want to save you tonight. I can't save you. Pastor Vanoy can't save you. This church can't save you. But watch this. We all are in agreement about who can save you. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. See, a lot of times in a meeting like this, there's a temptation just to think that everybody's saved. Now, I'm not in the business of causing anybody to doubt their salvation. But can I tell you, I think about my wife. I think about Miss Evelyn Sexton, Pastor Sexton's wife, who had daddies who were preachers. They were in church at a young age. They were around the things of God, but they were lost. They wasn't saved. And it's only by the grace of God that after being exposed to all of that truth, that they eventually came to know the Lord Jesus as their personal Savior. If you're here tonight, and maybe you've been coming here for a time. Maybe you're a faithful attendant of the youth activity and you go to the retreats and all of that, but you know in your heart you're not saved. Listen, nobody's trying to make fun of you. If I'm talking to nobody, that's fine. But if you're here and you don't know Christ as your Savior, God loves you and he wants to save you. He's the only one who can save you. He bled and died, was buried, and rose again the third day that you and I might be saved. The greatest thing that ever happened to me happened when I was a 22-year-old young man there in Tallahassee, Florida. I came to know Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I'm glad that I'm saved. I'm glad that I've been rescued by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now you say, well, okay, I know Christ is my Savior. I've been born again. Well, here it is. We ought to be on the same rescue mission that the Lord Jesus Christ was on and still is on, rescuing lost sinners with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Listen to me, young people. I talked about that target that's on that bullseye that the devil is trying to destroy America's youth, and he is. Him. Some of you go to school with young people who perhaps are contemplating thoughts of suicide. The suicide rate is highest amongst teenagers. And there are young people at your school who need to be rescued from thoughts of suicide. Hey, there are young people that need to be rescued from premarital affairs. I'm not trying to be gross. I know there are young ears in here, but you know what I'm talking about. There are young people that need to be rescued from the use of drugs and alcohol. There are some Christians that need to be rescued There are some Christians that need to be rescued from inactivity. You say, what you mean by that? There are some of you that used to go soul winning. You don't go soul winning no more. I don't know, but there may be some of you that used to give and you ain't giving no more. I'm just shooting. Now, remember, I can't see straight. Pow! We need to be rescued. Saved and lost alike. Yeah. There are people right here in Kingsport and this Bloomingdale area. Am I right about that? Yeah. That need to be rescued. Otherwise, they're going to die in their sin. And they're going to bust hell wide open under the watch of Bible Way Baptist Church. And we ought to be wholeheartedly given to acknowledging God and allowing the Lord Jesus Christ to direct the affairs of our life, that he might use us as his deliverer to rescue some people from the hands of the enemy. That's why we sang that song, Rescue the Perishing. I wish I could bust a note right there, Brother Johnny, but I can't. I be preaching so hard that by the time I get ready to sing in the midst of a sermon, my voice be hoarse. Care for the dying. Amen. Jesus is merciful. Jesus will save. Other than that, I don't know all the song. Amen. We ought to be on a rescue mission. Let me hurry up and get done. See, David was God's deliverer. David was the man. And David, under divine instruction from Almighty God, was used of God to rescue the city of Keilah from the hand of the enemy. Dear Christians, let us allow the Lord Jesus Christ to direct the affairs of our lives, that he might use us to rescue others from the hand of the enemy. Would you bow your heads with me for a word of prayer? Head bowed, eyes closed. I'm going to pray. And in my prayer, I'll make a little application. But the next voice you'll hear once I'm done praying is that of Pastor Vinoy. And may the Spirit of God prompt you and move you to respond as God would have you. Lord Jesus, I thank you for this time. And Lord, in spite of my stammer and stutter and my chasing of rabbits here and there, I pray that you've used thy word by the power of thy spirit to speak to the hearts of thy people. And God, I pray, Lord, that you would help us to not be indifferent to the news, to the report that we're hearing, Lord, both here in our homeland and abroad, about the havoc, Lord, that the devil and his crowd is wreaking in the lives of people. Lord, help us to not be calloused. Help us to not be cold and indifferent. Lord, may we be people, Lord God, that would inquire of thee like David did, that we might have clear-cut direction, dear God, to know what it is you would have us to do. Lord, help us to not be afraid. Help us, Lord God, to love you and to have that love that will cast out all fear, dear God. Help us, Lord God, to fear you. And we know that the fear of you, Lord God, is greater than all lesser fears. And Lord, I pray that you would give us the boldness and courage as you lead us to go about at our schools, in our community, in our families, in the city, in this world in which we live, Lord God, in the power of thy spirit, with the gospel of Jesus Christ, that we might be used of thee, Lord, to rescue as many lost sinners as we possibly can with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray for this pastor. I pray for this thy people. Thank you for how you've used them thus far. But we know that you're not done, that there's more you would want to do. Lord, I pray a special prayer for these young people, Lord, who are going and attending, some of them. Some are in Christian school, some attend public school. And Lord, for those that are in public school, they're on one of the greatest mission fields in America. God, give them the boldness and courage, Lord God, to be the witnesses they ought to be. And some of their classmates, some of their teachers, Lord, might come to know you as their personal Savior. Lord, we ask you to have your will and way. Rescue thy people from inactivity. Rescue us, Lord God, from perhaps, Lord God, weights and sins, Lord, that are easily besetting us, God. Rescue us. Have your will and way, Lord, in our lives. Help us, Lord. If there be anybody here that does not know you as Savior, may they come to you here tonight, putting their faith and trust in you, dear God, and you alone for their soul's salvation. Give Pastor wisdom as he comes and extend this invitation. Help thy people respond. In your name we pray. Amen.